So 1 Samuel chapter 19. And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Okay, so this is post-Goliath. But Saul has gotten jealous of David because David is very popular. He's been a great servant. He's been leading the armies. He's been doing many things. But Saul is jealous because he knows he's taking his place. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning and abide in a secret place and hide thyself." So he said, "Okay, Saul's out to kill you, so you hide while I check into this. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee." And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, "Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to theeward very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood and slay David without a cause?" So Jonathan is making a case for him. He's making a logical argument. It's like, why are you after David? David has served you well. God has blessed him. He killed the Philistine, gave us a great victory. He killed Goliath, gave us a great victory over the Philistines, and he's done nothing wrong to you. So why do you seek that? So please don't do that. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." So Saul was persuaded, at least in his mind, he was persuaded that it would be right to not harm David. So Jonathan called David, and David showed him all these things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. So for a while, it seems like everything's okay. I think Saul was sincere. Jonathan convinced him, David is your ally. David is good. Why should you harm him? So he invites him back, and he serves Saul in the palace just like he's done in the past. But this reminds me of stories I've heard about abusive husbands that beat their wives. Okay, they can be so sorry. You know, they'll beat their wife or whatever, and they'll apologize and swear never to do it again, and they probably mean it. You got to their mind, you didn't get to their heart. Okay, so in their mind, like, you're right. You know, Saul is. You're right, Jonathan. David is good. He's done me no harm. I shouldn't do him any harm. That's fine. So everything goes back to normal, but his heart hasn't changed. So eventually, that takes over again, what you really think, what you really are on the inside. And there was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. So he's been a great general, too. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. So he's won the big victory. They go back home, relax, but the evil spirit is bothering Saul again. So David does as he has in the past. He plays some beautiful, soothing music, and Saul is sitting there. But notice Saul has got his javelin in his hand. Now, why does he need his javelin in his hand when he's at home in the palace? Okay, he doesn't. Now, maybe that was common for him to keep it. That's understandable. But remember, the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. If Saul truly did not want to harm David, he should have not given himself the opportunity. Okay, he should have not had that handy. This, to me, reminds me, because most abuse that goes on in families is usually due to drinking or drugs. And this is like the guy who's going to quit abusing his family, so he's going to quit drinking so much, but he's still got a bottle of liquor in the cabinet. Okay? He's kept that. He's made provision for the flesh. His honor for weakness. We have to watch that because, you know, we're sinful people. And we tend to fall back, especially in the past sins that we have a weakness for. So what you do is, when you're not as tempted, you set the scene appropriately. You get rid of the temptations. You do that sort of thing. Whatever brings you to sin. You get rid of your TV, or you get rid of the alcohol, or you put those things away so that when the times of temptation come, you're not sitting there with a javelin in your hand. Yeah, that's not a good idea if you've got a bad temper. Okay? Don't have a javelin that handy. And the evil spirit of the Lord was upon Saul, and David played with his hand to calm him, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So David was playing his harp, but he had one eye on that javelin. Okay, he was paying attention. When he saw Saul get a grip of that javelin and get it in a position to throw it, he ducks out the door, and the javelin just embeds in the wall. So Saul had every intention to kill him right then and there, but David slipped away. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house. Now this time he's made up his mind. He's not letting up to watch him. So he had people stake out his house and to slay him in the morning. So at night, good to see, but he's like, you hang around his house and in the morning you kill him. And Michal, David's wife, remember Michal is Saul's daughter. And so David has, by killing 200 Philistines, earned the right to marry Saul's daughter. And so she defends him. She told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So there they are that night, and she knows about the plot. And so she says, David, you got to get away tonight. So she takes care of it. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. So they're watching the doors, but she throws, she ties the bed sheets together and lets him down out the window so he can get away. And beyond that, she took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. So not only did she let him escape in the middle of the night, but she's making, she's delaying as long as possible. She put an image. Now, is this an idol? Probably. In Israel, you didn't have a bust of Julius Caesar or a bust of Beethoven or something like that. You didn't make images of people. So it may have been an idol. But whatever it was, she made it look like he was still in bed. You know, like they do mysteries. You throw the pillows under the covers and you put a wig down there. So that way when the guard looks in, they think you're still in bed. So she's delaying as long as possible to give David the best guard to get away. So she's being a faithful wife. She's being faithful to David, even against her own father. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. So she didn't just say, he's gone, he's not here, they're looking for him. She said, well, he's sick. So buy him more time. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. So Saul is so angry. He says, I don't care if he's as sick as a dog. Just bring the whole bed here and I'll kill him myself. You know, he's not going to wait around. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed and a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. So they discover the subterfuge. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So she has defended him even before at her own risk. So she has risked her own life in the anger of the king to save David. And David is not very grateful. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel. So what he does, he runs to the prophet Samuel, to Ramah, where Samuel lives, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. So it's like a small town. It's hard to keep a secret. Everybody knows. So they've seen him, they recognize him, they know what's going on. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So here's Samuel in his role as a prophet, as God's representative, and there's some other followers there around him. And so Saul sends commandos to go get David. But when they get there and see Saul, they fall down and start prophesying as well. So they fall before the power of God. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. This reminds me of when they went to get Elijah. He was up on the mountain. They kept sending troops of 50s, and he called down fire from heaven. Well, this time it wasn't fire from heaven, but they did fall under God's influence. He sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Can you imagine how mad Saul is getting at this point? He sent his best commandos three times, and they turned into sons of the prophets when they get there. Then went he also to Ramah, so he went himself. He said, if you're going to do a job right, you got to do it yourself. And when that, and they came to a great well that is in Seku. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they're at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. So Saul himself and all his fury goes down to kill David, and still he gets under the influence of God and can't do it. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all the day and all the night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? So here comes Saul in all his anger and all his royal robes and all. And instead, God humbles him and he strips off his royal robes and falls down there before Samuel. So, Saul is not in a good situation. Okay, he's quit following God, and everything just falls apart. He acts irrationally. He's angry. He's full of hatred. He's full of murders, and he wants to just kill David, but God just won't let him. Okay, God will not give him the opportunity. He has the power. He's the king of the country, but. He's up against God, and God just stops him short. So Michael was faithful and sent David away, and then God is faithful and prevents Saul from doing him any harm there. Okay, let's close in prayer, and then we'll take a break. Father, we do thank you to see this demonstration of how you're in charge of all things and how you do care for your own. And Father, may we always, that you would give us the faith to trust your hand, to know that your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.